Hey folks, I pray that this audio teaching sermon finds you in great spirits and ready to absorb more of the teaching of Jesus. We are now up to the 45th message in this sermon series. I'm the voice you hear, and my name is Pastor Jefferson. I am the lead pastor at DWJD Ministries, where our only mission is to do what Jesus commanded all of his followers to do. And that's make disciples of people from every nation. In the last lesson, we were discussing the third prophecy of the parable of the fig tree, which I entitled The Imminent. We've been covering the signs Jesus gave us to highlight when the timing was getting close to the end of the age. The first sign he mentioned was that many would be coming using his name, affirming that he was the Christ, and would still mislead many. The word present in this verse for many is polus, and means abundant, plenteous, or multitudinous. You know, I'm not making these words up. You can go and see them for yourself in the Greek dictionary. I'll tell you plainly that not only is old Satan real, but he is pretty clever as well. Think about it. He, first of all, gets folks to volunteer to lead people away from the true Messiah without them even knowing that they are doing it. Now that is brilliant. And secondly, to have most of the rest of us fall for it is nothing short of astonishing. But what does that really say about those who are dumb enough to blindly follow along, which clearly, as the Bible says, many of us are doing just that? The second sign was that there would be wars and rumors of wars. We learned in the last lesson that these wars are not ordinary. They are the super scary kind, nuclear wars. Go ahead and open your Bible back up to Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. Refreshing your memory, Jesus says, "You will begin then to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Behold, but be not alarmed, for it is necessary for this to take place, but not yet is the end." Look at thought four. We see just one Greek word in the thought, behold. In the Greek, it is the word horate. It means to stare at, to discern clearly, or to concentrate on. Jesus is telling us to take a good hard look at what we are seeing. Make sure we don't miss this particular sign, as it is a very important one. That's to make sure we know exactly what we are viewing, the very thing he just prophesied. He wants us to fully understand its significance, and all that information contained within just one word. I told you God is a great writer. We find the words "be alarmed" in thought five. The Greek word is throaiste, and it translates to be frightened, disturbed, or to clamor. It brings the idea of wailing and howling due to being thrown into an emotional uproar. People are going to be so terrified that they will involuntarily scream. This word is only used twice, in this verse and again over in Mark chapter 13, verse 7. Remember, Jesus here is talking about Christians. The good news is that Jesus is telling us to not be alarmed when we see these weapons being used. In thought six, he explains why this is so. He says, "For it is necessary for this to take place." The Greek word we see for "it is necessary" is "day." It is a commonly seen word in Scripture, which means what must happen or what is absolutely necessary. It conveys the idea that something is obligatory or required to attain some end. And this necessity is established by the counsel and decree of God Himself. It is therefore a preordained event. And the word we see for to take place is genestai, another frequently used word which means transitioning from one point, a realm or condition, over to another. It's used to signify a change in condition, We discussed another version of this word back in message number 41, when Jesus was made to become tender, another event preordained by God and absolutely necessary. The reason these events must happen is, first of all, to fulfill the prophecy of Jesus. He said it was going to happen, which effectively sets it in biblical stone. And secondly, these scary events are required to jumpstart the Great Reformation, or, as I like to say, the 7 years of plenty. As I explained prior, there is a 7-year period coming in which the world will see an abundant soul harvest called the Great Reformation. It will immediately be followed by a 7-year soul famine, which the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. The two prophecies come from Pharaoh's dreams, with the 7 fat cows and the 7 stalks containing plentiful ears of grain being the basis for the Great Reformation. And the 7 gaunt cows and thin scorched ears of grain, the Great Tribulation. If you recall in his dream, the 7 emaciated and ugly cows came up out of the river and ate the fat cows. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 4, the Hebrew word for and ate up is vatolkalnach, and is used only twice, and each time it means to burn up, to devour, or to consume. It brings the idea of the arrival of unexpected judgment brought by the divine fire of destruction. In his second dream, Pharaoh saw 7 thin ears of grain scorched by the east wind, devouring the 7 plump ears of grain. The word we see in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 7 for "and devoured" is vatiblachna, and it means to swallow, to engulf, or to devastate. This is the only time this word is seen, and it means to destroy via the act of swallowing. To swallow something renders the image of someone absorbing doctrine, as in accepting it without question, protest, or resentment. Today, we'd say someone swallowed Satan's lie, hook, line, and sinker. In this verse, the act is sudden, irreversible, and total. It is a picture of folks who will readily accept the mark of the Antichrist. So the 7 years of Reformation will be immediately followed by 7 years of eradication. Friends, if you hear one thing from my audio sermons, it is this. You most certainly do not want to risk being around for what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. Don't for 1 minute believe you will survive it. You most certainly will not. God does not want anyone to go through it, but the majority of humanity will still choose to do so. So God, with His loving mercy, will send a few warnings in advance so as to notify us that something is up. Their purpose will be to give a not-so-gentle push to get folks jump-started on the Great Reformation. When I say jump-start, these scary events will be what really catches the attention of the world, and in particular, those who describe themselves as Christian. They will clearly come to see these events as the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Look now at thought 7 in Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. It says, "But not yet is the end." The Greek word we see for end is telos, and it translates to the point aimed at and set as a limit, the conclusion of an act or state, or the consummation of something. It is a determined outcome, or in this case, the fulfillment of God's word. The word telos is well illustrated using an old pirate's telescope, unfolding out one stage at a time until reaching full strength when extended to its limit. The telescope cannot be stretched out any further once it reaches the end. Jesus here is telling us that despite the terrifying reality of these nuclear wars, there is yet some time remaining with which to make a good decision. Just to provide full disclosure and transparency, I can only make educated guesses as to the real nature of these nuclear-initiated attention steps. As I have said, short of having the Archangel Michael or Jesus himself appear before me and give me details, I cannot provide any particulars regarding the specific timing of these wars, only that I believe they will happen prior to the start of the Great Reformation. I am using the Word of God to make these assessments, but I am fallible and capable of making mistakes. Once more, I think there will be some event to happen to Israel, perhaps the detonation of a small nuclear device, or even a dirty bomb within the borders of the country, after which Israel will respond by hitting those responsible using its own nuclear weapons. Something will happen soon which will lead to the world embargoing Israel in the near future. Nebuchadnezzar blockaded Israel for 18 months after they revolted against him back in 598 BC. Use of any nuclear weapons against an enemy by Israel, regardless of the circumstances, would likely result in a worldwide embargo. But so would seeing the Jews take action to forcibly seize their Temple Mount by destroying the Dome of the Rock. The Bible clearly teaches the new Hebrew temple must be reconstructed at some point prior to the start of the tribulation. And there is only one spot where it can be built, and that point is currently covered over by the Dome of the Rock. It therefore must come down. There are lots of moving parts for which we have not been given any specific timing, and in some cases with good reason. Just imagine if God were to allow us to know ahead of time the exact date Islam's third holiest site, the Dome of the Rock, would be destroyed at the hands of the Hebrews. Just having the date known beforehand would generate violent wars as the time approached. Now, there are some dates which have been made known. For example, in January of 2027, Israel, and possibly the United States, will make use of neutrino-based weapons to destroy a Russian-led coalition which will be invading Israel. In the 1980s, the U.S. developed nuclear weapons called neutron bombs. They are small weapons which have a comparatively low yield, which result in contained blast radiuses. The benefit is that the neutrino-based detonations only kill the invading soldiers, leaving the civilian infrastructure of the nearby towns and cities intact. And the nuclear fallout is very short-lived. Usually, the defending forces can transition into an area where they have been used in less than 2 hours. Once again, this is all entirely of God's timing, but clearly prophesied to happen. There is another reason Jesus told us the end is not yet. When we skip down to Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, we read, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as had not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will." This is a very telling statement. For as bad as humanity has been at times, this period of man will be the worst of all. And then Jesus goes on in verse 22, "And if those days had not been shortened, there would not have been saved any flesh. However, because of the elect, those days will be shortened." So what does Jesus mean when he says the days will be shortened? Well, we know from the Bible that the tribulation will last 7 years. If you get a copy of my master's chart, you'll see that the tribulation is slated to begin on 26 November of 2033, when the man who will become the Antichrist signs a peace treaty with Israel for 7 years. Adding 7 years to 26 November of 2033 equals 25 November of 2040. If you notice on the master chart, the second coming of Christ happens on the 17th of November of 2040, or 8 days short. So, why would God shorten the days? The answer has to do with the aforementioned nuclear wars. Satan is not unaware that his time remaining is very short. The Bible tells us that the closer to the end he gets, the more desperate he will become. When the Antichrist gets indwelt by Satan, he is going to mandate that everyone worship him. That is always what that jealous old dragon has wanted, right from the very beginning. In order to get folks motivated to do that, he is going to set up a system which will prohibit any buying or selling unless the person bears what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. And in order to get the mark of the beast, a person will have to swear their allegiance to Satan. Stop and think about it. Satan will not want anyone dead in that time until after they have taken his mark. The people the Bible tells us that the Antichrist will kill will first be the Jews, and then the remaining Christians who are not taken up in the rapture. These people will never accept his mark, and so he will seek to end them as soon as he can. By the way, Satan has exactly zero love for any members of the human race, even those who will eventually take his mark. He will use them until they are of no further use to him. Approaching the end of the tribulation, other than the Hebrews sequestered in Petra and 144,000 witnesses Christ left behind to go about and urge folks to refuse taking the mark, there will be no more people remaining who won't have already done so. With the time of the end approaching, Satan is going to attempt one final try to destroy the Hebrew race. I believe the Antichrist will make a plan to target and launch all the remaining nuclear weapons onto Petra. It will be his final act of defiance before he gets sent to the lake of fire. The reason he won't do it sooner is there will still be people around who haven't yet been forced to take the mark. Satan wants every soul he can get to be damned along with him and sent to the lake of fire. Detonating the world's arsenal of nuclear weapons is likely to kill every person remaining on Earth. So, he'll hold off using the world's nuclear arsenal until the very last minute. That time will come around 8 days before the end of the 7-year peace treaty. Perhaps Satan believes that Jesus will return on that exact date. He is aware that God loves symmetry and does things precisely. But, as we just read, God is always one step ahead of Satan and will once again thwart his plans. This is why Jesus said that when we witness the sign of actual nuclear war, along with the associated dangerous rhetoric designed to cause terror, we are not to be alarmed, as the end is not yet. He then tells us that the days would be shortened, otherwise all flesh on earth would perish. As I said before, this sign will be a major reason the world will have its collective attention caught. Shortly after these events, Jesus says in verse 14, "And there will be proclaimed this gospel of the kingdom in all the earth for a testimony to all the nations, and then will come the end." This step will be taken to ensure that no person on the planet will not understand what they are doing when they accept the mark of the beast, an act which leads to their eternal damnation. I am fully aware that I am covering a lot of prophetic biblical ground in these lessons. However, by giving you the bigger picture at times, when we do begin drilling down on the individual verses, the magnificence of God's work will be seen all the more. Folks, I've been working on this for over 40 years now, and I still get goosebumps when I discover more data supporting what I've previously unearthed from out of the Bible. It has been for me sort of like those who have traveled to the Holy Land for the purpose of digging in the sand in search of verification and validation of historical scripture. For example, skeptics long denied that King David was a real person until coins and other artifacts began being excavated from the soil of Palestine with his name and image on them. My only purpose here is to educate and inform, so that your faith might be increased as we inexorably move deeper into the end of the age, as Jesus spoke of. We will continue with the next sign Jesus mentions in his mini apocalypse in the next sermon. So until next time, my beloved, this has been Pastor Jefferson speaking in God's holy name and for his glory alone. Amen.